morning, guys. I hope you guys are as excited as I am for what God has for us this morning. Okay. Wasn't expecting that. Very cool. I just want to say I am so keen because I've been listening to Nick and I've been listening to Talitha and to Andrew. And God, I mean, I don't even really need to be up here. You know, God has already spoken through them the different things that he's laid on my heart to share with you guys this morning. And so I'm very excited to see what God has for us today. So before we go any further, though, let's pray. Father God, we come before you now and we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that already we can see your hand at work this morning. Lord, I just want to invite your Holy Spirit here and ask that it may come and fill this space. Fill each and every single one of us, Lord. Lord, may my words be your words. May you come and speak through me, Lord, and may your will be done. And may each of our hearts be softened to what it is that you have for us in your service today. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So our passage that we're looking at today is John 10, when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. And so today we're going to be looking at what it means for us to follow Jesus as our good shepherd, to walk in his footsteps and to follow his lead. And I've been thinking and I've been praying about this passage a lot, and there's this image that keeps coming to mind, and that is this image. Well, this was the best version of what I could see in my mind that I could find on the internet, but it's pretty much Jesus standing in front of me, and he's looking back, and his face and his body is radiating joy, and he's reaching out towards me, and he's asking for my hand. And as I take his hand, he's leading me, and he's leading me to the Father. Something that Jesus has been showing me through this particular passage is that he wants to be a part of my life. He wants to journey with me in the good times and the hard times, and he wants to know me to know that he is right beside me every step of the way. I believe that through today's passage, Jesus is saying to each of us that he wants to walk with us. This life that we are living, he wants to be a part of, and he wants to do it with us. And on that journey, he wants to lead us to his Father, to our Father. He wants to lead us to God. Now, our theme for this month is doubts and divisions. And as part of our passage today, we see that some people wrestle with what Jesus is saying to them about him being the good shepherd. In John 9, we read about Jesus healing a blind man who has been blind from birth by spitting in the mud and putting that mud on his eyes. And as a result of this miracle, people become divided. We have the man who was once blind. He goes to Jesus and he declares that he believes in who Jesus says that he is and he worships. Then we have his parents who are confronted and scared about what the Pharisees might do if they speak about what they've seen and what they've heard. And so they decide to take a step back and say, go talk to our son about it. We don't want to get involved. And then we have the Pharisees who are doubtful and angry and wanting to stop Jesus. This then leads into our passage that we have today. And we'll be reading up at this point in John 10, where we see that even more people are being divided over what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing. Some of them believe that he must be demon-possessed and a lunatic. Others, though, see what Jesus is doing, the miracles he's performing, like giving sight to the blind, and they see the work of Jesus and they say, how could someone who is possessed by a demon do these kinds of things? So who he says he is must be true. I have a question for all of us this morning. Where does your heart sit with Jesus right now? As you've settled in your seats this morning, have you come with a hurting, broken, maybe distracted or angry or unbelieving or confused heart that doesn't believe that Jesus is who he says that he is and can do the things that he says that he can and will do? I think at some point we all end up in that space, even if we aren't there right now. You know, this world is really good at distracting us. The enemy is really good at distracting us, and he knows how to hurt us. Our own fears and struggles can turn our focus off of who Jesus is and the life that he wants to lead us into. Maybe you've come today expectant and excited to meet with Jesus and to experience all that he has for you today. And so as we explore today's passage, I want to encourage us all to remember that Jesus wants to take all of our hands and lead us to the Father. He knows that we have doubts. He knows that our heart can sometimes be divided. He knows that we struggle and we hurt. But my encouragement to you is to listen to his voice. Listen to his words today as he shares about how he is the good shepherd. Listen as he shares about how he will care for you and protect you and love you, and that he will never leave you to figure out all of this life on your own. Let's jump into this passage that we have for today. So we're going to be reading from John 10, and we're starting at the very start of the passage. And it begins by saying, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." Here we see Jesus is explaining that not everyone who comes among the sheep are a true shepherd. Some are like thieves and robbers. I find it really interesting how Jesus refers to these people as thieves and robbers. And I just want to look at these two words very briefly. A thief is often someone who uses deception and trickery to take from another. They are stealthy and they usually don't use force or violence to get what they want. But a robber, on the other hand, is someone who usually does use force and violence to get what they want, who's often quite destructive in their actions. And they often threat and force. What Jesus is saying here is that there is a clear and proper way to gain entry among the sheep, and that not everyone who stands among the sheep comes in through that correct way. These religious leaders, the Pharisees, are among God's people through corruption and manipulation. They are not the true shepherds of God's sheep, of God's people. There is, however, a shepherd who comes in through the gate, and the sheep listen to his voice. Let's keep reading. "He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. During Jesus' time, it was very common for many sheep from different flocks to be kept together overnight in something called a common sheepfold. And they would then be protected and looked after by someone who was called the doorkeeper. And their job would be to keep an eye on the sheep and to keep an eye on which sheep belonged to which shepherd, and to make sure that only the sheep that belonged to the right shepherds would leave with those shepherds, and that there was no strangers coming in and trying to steal or take any of the sheep. Now, imagine that the number of sheep that were in these sheepfolds was often quite a lot. And so the shepherds, what they would do is they would enter into these sheepfolds and they would give their very distinctive call that only their sheep would then respond to. And their sheep would come out from amongst all the other sheep, and they would be then led by the shepherd out of the sheepfold. The sheep would know their shepherd's voice, and they would follow him when he calls them. The sheep do not respond to the call of a different shepherd or of someone else. And I really love this. I love it because not only is Jesus declaring that those who follow him will know his voice, but it also implies that when we hear his voice, we are to respond. If the sheep do not continually keep an ear out listening for their shepherd for when he speaks, then they're going to miss his call. They are attuned to his specific voice. They are listening and waiting for it. And when it comes, they instantly respond. Now, I had a bit of an object lesson that I wanted to do in this part, but to help illustrate this a little bit. But I have to laugh because Talitha stole it. And she didn't realize that she did either. But In saying that, I still want to do it because I want to add an extra part to it as well. And so I've asked Paul if he can be a volunteer for me. So if I can get Paul to jump up, that would be awesome. Now, Paul, just like Max, can you please turn around and face the wall? Great. Now, everyone, I'm not sure how many people noticed what we had going on with the object lesson with the children this morning, but we had Max up on stage. We had different children who were calling out to him, and Max had to guess who that was speaking. Now, I'm going to do this really quickly and really simply. I'm just going to pick two people, and I'm going to try and see if I can pick someone that... Okay, awesome. I'm not going to say your name, but I'm going to point to you. And if in a loud voice, can you please say, "Hi, Paul, it's me." Don't say your name, just say, "Hi, Paul, it's me." Reckon we can do that, someone? Yeah, let's see. Can I get you to do it, please? Yeah, awesome.
"Hi, Paul, it's me."
Now, Paul, do you know who that is?
Sure.
You're not sure. I'm really sorry. I don't actually know your name. What's your name? Lachlan. It's a gentleman named Lachlan. Awesome. I want to use one more example for this. Can I please get you to say it? Thank you.
"Me."
Who's that? That's Mum. That's right. That is Mum. That's Taryn for everyone else. Awesome. I want to add an extra element to this though. What I would want all of you guys to do is I'm going to get in a little bit every single one of you to start talking to Paul, okay? And at that same time though, Taryn, I want you to also be talking to Paul as well, not screaming at him, just normal voice like you did before. And Paul, what I want you to do is I want you to try really hard to tune in and try and listen to what it is that your mum is saying, okay? Everyone else's job is to drown her out, okay? All right, I'm going to give us a countdown to make it nice and easy, but I'm going to count down from three, and then I'd love everyone to talk to Paul. I don't know, tell him about your day. Tell him how cool his shirt is. It's whatever you would like. And Paul, your job here is to tune in and try and listen to Taryn, your mum's voice. Awesome. All right, 3, 2, 1, go. All right. Awesome. 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 We could keep going, but we'll stop it there. Paul, feel free to turn around. It's all right. You don't have to keep it. Now, did you hear a word your mum said?
No.
No.
I'm very proud I kept adding this bad acoustics.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Can we give Paul a hand and I'll just get you to sit down. Thank you, Paul. You noticed as soon as everyone else started talking, it was impossible for Paul to be able to hear whatever his mum was saying. How do we hear the voice of the shepherd with all the other noise going on in our life?
Good question.
Has anyone ever put on some headphones or some earbuds before and helped to block out the noise that's going on around them? You know, when we put on headphones and earbuds, we're choosing to actively tune into just the sound that's coming through that headpiece. And often it becomes the only noise we can hear, particularly if you're people like me who turn it up really loud. How do we hear the voice of Jesus? We have to get close to him, right? If Paul was to hear his mum's voice while all of you guys are talking, the best way for him to do that would have been to get off the stage and to go stand next to his mum. And then he would have been able to hear her voice so much more clearly. Yes, everyone else would have been speaking. Yes, there still would have been noise, but Taryn's voice would have been louder and he would have been able to hear what Taryn was saying. And the closer we get to Jesus, the louder his voice becomes and the more we can hear what it is that he is saying. But in order to be able to get close to the voice of Jesus, we need to know what the voice of the shepherd sounds like, so that we don't get lost and follow the wrong voice. How do we do that? Well, Talitha also spoke about this morning as well. We prioritize things like spending time in God's presence, you know, in reading the word, in prayer, in worship. And as we do these things, we become better at hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. And it's important that we're always listening for his voice so that when he speaks, we hear it. and so that we can know without a doubt that it is Him who is speaking to us, and we can then respond to what He is saying. The sheep listen for the voice of their shepherd. They know the voice of their shepherd, and when the shepherd speaks, they respond. Let's keep reading. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Several weeks ago, with the help of some of the children, Ben got up here and he did a little drama presentation, whatever you want to call it, about the seven I am statements that Jesus makes. And these seven I am statements are: I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, the gate, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth and the life, and I am the true vine. Now, I'm going to keep reading through this passage, and I want to see, we've already seen one and we've already kind of spoken about the other, but let's see where the other one comes up as well. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So we have these seven I am statements that Ben spoke about and that we've looked at over the past couple of weeks. And like I mentioned, there's the bread of life, the light of the world, the door or the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and life, and the true vine. And today in our passage, we have the gate and the good shepherd. In verse 7 to 10, we read about Jesus as the gate, and he says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." And then he says, "All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to me, to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." And then he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have life to the fullest." We live in a world that is in a constant battle between good and evil. We have the enemy, Satan, whose only goal is to lead you away from God and distract you from the life and the purpose that you were created for. And then we have God, who sent his son Jesus so that we could have life to the fullest. And this fullness of life is only obtainable through Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, it says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Jesus is the gate, because it is only through him that we have access to the fullness of relationship and life with God, our Father. So then how do we get through the gate? That's a great question. Thank you for asking. That comes from recognizing that all of us are sinful and coming to God for forgiveness. In Romans 10:9-10, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And then you begin this journey where Jesus walks with you, teaching you and guiding you and leading you to the Father. This is where the image that I shared at the beginning comes back. The one of Jesus taking our hand and leading us. Jesus, as the good shepherd, says that he will lead us to God. Jesus says that as the good shepherd, he will lay down his life for his sheep. Often a pen where the sheep would stay when they weren't in the communal sheepfolds had only one entrance. and the door to these sheep pens was the shepherd. He would lay down his body across the entrance of the pen to make sure that the sheep stayed inside, and also to make sure that any wolves or any animals or anything that wanted to get to the sheep and harm them were unable to do so, or at least they would have to go through the shepherd first. The imagery becomes even more powerful, I think, when we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. That he did, in fact, lay down his life for us so that we were able to come to the Father. So that we would be able to have life and life in abundance. In contrast, Jesus speaks about how the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to point out a particular word that's being used here, and that word is the word only. The thief only steals, he only kills, he only destroys. There is no other reason that he is there except to do these things. He cannot do good at all. And when I think about the thief in the context of this passage, I think about the false teachers and the speakers like the Pharisees who led the people away from God rather than closer to him. But I also think about the root of that kind of distraction and deception, which comes straight from the enemy, comes from Satan himself. The enemy does not want anyone to walk in the fullness of life with Jesus Christ. And so he steals and he kills and he destroys. He takes away our peace. He robs us of our joy. He distracts us from our God. And he makes us feel worthless and unforgivable. If the best thing in our life is to live in the abundance of the life that Jesus Christ offers us, which, by the way, it is, then the enemy does whatever he can to stop that. He robs, he steals, he kills, and he destroys. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, he protects, he provides, he lays down his life, and he leads and he walks beside us, never letting us walk alone. Amen. Jesus walks with us in our darkest valleys and in our mountaintop experiences. And he declares that he will never let us go, that he will be beside us through it all and go on this journey of life with us every step of the way. I want us to read the last part of our passage for today. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" We see this two people going, this guy's a lunatic and he must be crazy and he's demon possessed. And we see those are saying, no, there has to be truth in what he says because of what his actions are showing us. Jesus is the good shepherd. Shows his sheep, shows us what it means to live in God's will. His obedience to God's command leads to the sacrifice of his life for our sake. He laid down his life so that we could have the fullness of life that he promises us. And just as the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, the sheep are to do the same for the shepherd. Think about it. What is the role of the sheep? To follow and obey the shepherd's commands so that the shepherd can do with them what he needs to do, which I imagine would be to use them for wool and probably food, some meat. The sheep, though, are alive for the needs of the shepherd. When we think about that for ourselves today, what does it mean for us to follow Jesus? It means that our lives are to be surrendered to Jesus so that we may be used for the glory and honor of God. Jesus offers us an abundant life, and that life comes with us choosing to be obedient and to the giving of our own lives fully to the will of God and the transformational love of Jesus Christ. The sheep give their lives for their shepherd, just as the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. When Jesus invites us to take his hand and follow him, to let him lead us, he's asking us to listen to his voice, to follow his will, and to go with him as he takes us on the path to God. To wrap up my message this morning, I felt led this past week to share with you guys a spoken word that I wrote a couple of weeks ago. And normally I wouldn't share something like this, but I think it might be good, maybe even important. Now, I originally wrote this to explore my understanding of what it means to be made in the image of God and how in my role as the youth worker here, I see so many youth who struggle with their identity. And my goal was to draw the focus back to Jesus and how through what he has done in both his life and his death and his resurrection, that we can know who we are because Jesus leads us to God and brings transformation to our lives. And in the context of today's message, I think it highlights how God sees us and he knows that we are messy sometimes and sometimes we struggle. And so he gave us Jesus, who shows us the power of God's love for us and wants to take our hand and lead us to the Father, where we belong. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is our good shepherd. And we aren't perfect, but Jesus doesn't expect us to be. He just wants to be part of our lives and to walk with us as we learn through him how to live better for God. All right. I will let you know I'm all a little bit nervous. I've never read something like this to people before, but I call this reflection. For God so loved us all and declared upon the heavens that as he formed the humans, that what he saw was good. And yet along came that sneaky serpent and he stole our greatest possession. To walk with God, our Father, freely among the gardens, to know without a doubt the reason for our creation. Instead, we walk this earth within our very nature, the sin that distorts the image of our wonderful Creator. And as the years go by, this image seems to grow fainter until the very truth of who we are is covered under layers. And those who long to know this truth find it's harder than ever to hold on to the knowledge of why we even matter. I wonder how it's possible to be a light among such darkness, to trust in my God who loves me and allow myself to be used by him to shine his every glory, to speak into these hurting hearts the truth he's laid before me and share with those I care about that the God who lives within me and knows my every story, he sees me in my faults and beauty and he declares that I am his. Fearfully and wonderfully made, loved without condition, seen and known and made anew because of his son Jesus. I look upon the youth who struggle to fit in, who mask their true identity with the filters of society. Be this, do that, make sure to be slim, say this, feel that, never let them see within. For your worth must be defined by your likes or the things you post. And as you give yourself to anyone who wants it until one day there's nothing left to give, and yet that's still not enough. And the shell of who you are is left emptied, longing to be filled. But how dare the truth be revealed, that we're all at times a little lost and uncertain of our story, held by fears and wonders and who you have told me that I must be. Yet it's not just youth who feel torn on who they are, for lost has no constraints on age or gender or experience of life, but all who walk their path and maybe wonder, who am I? Do I even matter? I'm sorry, I need a tissue. Jordan. Or am I just a speck dust floating round to be forgotten like ashes in the wind? And yet we need to remember that God himself saw dust and declared that he had something good for it, to be transformed into a man that holds his breath of life for God to look upon and love. Sorry. Sometimes we catch our image and we can hardly recognize the eyes that stare us down, held by the enemy's lies. For when we gaze upon ourselves, we define who we are by what we see on the outside. And yet God himself declares that he dwells within. And as the mirror shatters, we catch glimpses of ourselves in the broken shards that scatter. And the truth is all distorted, for we can't see the bigger picture. But if only we could remember the man who hung upon that cross, his body broken in surrender. For God so loved the world that he sent us his son Jesus, who joined us here on earth until sin had been defeated. And with his beaten body and the scars upon his hand, he declares a way for us to know in whose image we belong. So shouldn't we just look within to work out who we are, Or better yet, look upon the man who holds our scars and follow him with every step, with every breath that our lungs draw, that maybe one day we may let go of who we were before. For let me tell you the greatest story of the one who came to save, who set us up for life as he defeated the grave. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. And only through what he has done can we know where we belong. And only through what he has done can we know just who we are. You see, God sees our broken pieces and he doesn't turn away. He gently picks up piece by piece and holds them to himself. And with the hands that crafted us once upon the beginning, he forms us back into his perfect image. And now as we look upon the mirror and find what we reflect, he leads us to look beyond ourselves to the one who knows us best. For only when we look to him can we truly learn to forget the lies, the wrongs, the hurts, the sin that keeps us guessing, and to forget ourselves and find our God when we gaze upon our reflection. We can try and get through this life on our own. We can look within ourselves and try and make sense of how to live life well, and we can try and battle through stuff in our own strength, but too often that ends up leaving us hurt and broken, struggling and lost. Jesus wants us to look to him instead, the good shepherd. He invites us to believe and to not doubt the truth of who he is. And he asks us to help others to also look to him and believe. To look to the one who declares that he knows his sheep personally and he calls each and every single one of them by name. To look to the one who laid down his life for us so that we could live our life for him. He sees you. He knows you. He knows what it's like to struggle, to rejoice, to grieve and to celebrate and to live each day and every moment of our lives. He knows the ins and the outs. And he wants to be a part of it all and show you the glory and the power and the love of our Heavenly Father. He wants you to know the heart of love that God has for you. He's not just simply showing us something that's new and amazing. He's leading us back to the Father, which is where we belong, to the one that we were created for. He is leading us on the path that our very lives were created and designed for. God wants you because he loves you. And that's significant. Jesus is offering his hand to each and every single one of us today. And with that offer comes the opportunity to experience life to the fullest, to follow in the footsteps of our Savior as he leads us to the Father. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus so that we may know your love, so that we may walk with you and walk in your love, Lord God. How transformational, how powerful, how incredible are you, Lord God, and your love that you pour out upon us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you today as we are, whether we are rejoicing and celebrating, whether we are grieving and hurting, and Lord, that you see our pieces of our heart and you, Lord, hold them in your hand and you say that you love us. You say that you've sent your Son Jesus to do life with us so that we may never walk alone. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for your life that you surrendered for us so that we could walk with you and be led by you in this life that we live. In your name we pray. Amen.